there be no books in this world, it is really a means of deliverance. It's one of the five important devotional means called Panchanga Bhakti, which has incredible potency to free us from our conditioning and establish Krishna on our heart. And in this introductory lecture, I hope to be able to share this with you. But first of all, I really, really must congratulate you. When Parikshit came stumbling down the staircase into our little world, dying of thirst, and then finally his spiritual thirst was addressed in the Bhagavatam when Shukadev Goswami appeared on the scene and told him in 7 days the entire Bhagavatam, so that at the end of this session, so to say, or this retreat, if you so want, he went back to God. That was so wonderful. Thank you very much. And moving. And it had substance. Good. Let us just sing a little. Jaya Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava.
Thank you.
Which I will discuss this morning. The retreat has a purpose. We want to bring each one of you in the life-giving contact with the Srimad Bhagavatam so that your spiritual life will experience a fresh infusion. I remember it was 1974. We in Germany were at a peak of expansion. We were opening many temples. We had published a few of Srila Prabhupada's books and were distributing them all over. And I remember I was in just about to sign a contract for another temple when we received an alarming letter of Srila Prabhupada. The letter said, stop everything. Instead of thinning the milk by spreading ourselves more, it's now time to thicken the milk, to boil the milk. At this moment, all the expansion should be halted. And I want all of you to read regularly in our books. And then he said, these books are not meant for distribution. They're meant for you to be read. And then he said this alarming word. A long time I had this excerpt of the letter in my address book with the new addresses of people I visited. If you do not regularly read these translated books, soon there will be no more Haribol. It was for Srila Prabhupada that serious that we nourish first and foremost our own spiritual life so that we would be worthy carriers of this wonderful tradition of Krishna consciousness, and our expansion of Krishna consciousness would not end up in thinning ourselves in compromises and in becoming more one of his books, he wrote, if a devotee only regularly eats sufficient grains, I should translate this in modern English language, if a devotee only eats enough pizza. But avoids to regularly relish the subject matters of Krishna as they are depicted in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam, then he will surely fall down from his transcendental position and he will become very weak, although he eats massive amounts of grains or in modern times in any food, just food. So at that time I also stopped my sankirtan, my going out, and started to enter a period of 5 years where I just translated Prabhupada's books from the English language into the German language. My dear devotees, let us also stop for a moment our busy lives, our thoughts, our personal plans, and just for a moment become serious. Why do you think did Prabhupada come to the West? Why did he make all this tremendous sacrifice? He wanted, as it's very clear from his arrival prayer, to spread the message of Srimad Bhagavatam in the Western world. Because this message could deliver people from their material miseries and bring them in contact with Krishna. He himself had renounced everything, went to Vrindavan, and translated the Srimad Bhagavatam. To my knowledge, it was the first English translation of the Bhagavatam in three books. It was the first canto. They looked like bricks, you know. The Indian printing was very... at that time we would say primitive, nowadays we would say very creative. He raised the Lakshmi to print these books by going personally from Vrindavan to Delhi and distributing a smaller magazine called Back to Godhead. Then he went and rent rooms in Delhi to oversee the printing of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and when it was ready, the first canto of 12 cantos, he, an old man, in the evening of his life, went alone onto a ship to America. In this journey on the ship, he suffered two heart attacks, and we hear that at one stage he saw the Lord coming in a boat to take him, but he said, "No, don't take me now. My business is not yet done. I need to go to do what? Well, to spread the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the Western world." And Prabhupada said, Krishna looked at him and said, you know, he wanted to take him back to him, but then he said, okay, do your nonsense. You know, like a friend will say to another friend when he is slightly disappointed, the good reason which the friend gives becomes all of a sudden, in that perspective of disappointment, do your nonsense. My dear devotees, it took me personally some time, I must admit, to really appreciate the Bhagavatam, but it happened for me in a very dramatic circumstance. It was in the year 1976. We had returned, two of us, from the traveling Nitai Gaur World Sankirtan Party from India with our old bus, because we needed a new license to drive with a bus in India. And we had arrived in Switzerland when I was struck down with a severe case of malaria. I didn't know what malaria is until I fainted in the bathroom one morning, and Chitrakara Prabhu found me and brought me immediately to the hospital. Until that time, my relationship to the Bhagavatam was an on and off relationship. Sometimes I relished it, sometimes I went on for a week or two without even opening this transcendental literature. I had a doubt in my mind, if I'm honest. This is such an old book. They say it's 5,000 years old. It's a different culture. How does this piece relate to a modern man from a German family, educated in modern ways, and wired in a totally different way than a Vedic Brahmana? How is this relevant piece and relatable, and all these different planets, and who knows, you know? And then there's the idea of different living entities. Okay. I met with this concept in the hospital. Well, sometimes read it because I was told so. But then something happened in the hospital. I came to the point of death. I had for a week this tremendous high fever of 108 degrees Celsius or something like this. I've heard you die when you have 43 degrees. So. And I was at the end. And at that time, I saw in the hospital room the messengers of death coming to take me away. And full of fear, I remember, I took the last amount of strength and chanted very loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, etc. Then I saw falchion personalities. There was a discussion between the two, and finally the messengers of death left, and I was granted a new lease on my life. Later, I read this pastime in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where the sinner Ajamil, at the moment of his death, chants the holy name of the Lord. He meant someone else, but he chanted Narayan. And the messengers of death were about to take him away, but they were stopped by the Lord's servants, the Vishnu Dutas, and he was granted a new lease on life. And then I thought, wow, I got this. Bhagavatam tells me about things which are beyond my horizon, but which are so true. And I made it a practice to resume my reading of the Bhagavatam. Then there was a lapse, but now I'm very regular. And as I read the Bhagavatam, my dear devotees, I cannot really say to you what I can explain it in simple words. It's almost like entering into a lift, a shiny lift, which lifts me out of my normal consciousness and brings me onto a level of Krishna consciousness. And from there, when I'm on this level, my whole world changes. Everything is auspicious. My dear devotees, since I do this, I see only lucky appearances in my life. Things that move without effort. You know, Germans make a lot of efforts and are a lot of anxiety. They have this nature, therefore they're called the nervous Germans. I'm from this species. Reading the Bhagavatam has so much changed me that I'm really joyful. People come up to me, even in airports, and say, you are so content. What is your secret? And I say, two of the secrets, but I will only tell you one. It's the chanting of the holy names, and then I keep the secret for me because they should hear one thing and do one thing, but the second is reading the Bhagavatam regularly. I'm known as in the public world as Mr. Smiley. No, you can ask. Somehow, right now, it's too serious to smile. it really has changed my whole, not only my perception, but also the great wave of life has brought different things into my life than before. Good. So this is as a personal confession or personal, how do you say this, report to you. I want to now discuss a little bit about the Bhagavatam. It is said that reading the Bhagavatam is one of the five most potent things you can do in devotional service. This is called Panchanga Bhakti, five limbs of bhakti, which have the uncanny, or let us say, amazing potency to establish Krishna in your heart. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam which says like this. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for full God realization. What is the need for any other scriptures? Self-help books. You can throw it away. The Guardian. You can throw it away. Paulo Coelho. Throw it away. I love you. Yeah. Throw it away. To talk in modern ways. What is the need of any other scriptures? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within one's heart. And anyone can feel it who does it attentively. That is a challenge. I would say it was the mannequin challenge. What else? Mannequin challenge? The four ice bucket challenge. And this is now the attention challenge to you. If you can do and keep your attention fixed on this, and then submissively, meets the faith, hear the Bhagavatam, you actually see Krishna in your heart. Hare Krishna! Your business is finished. Oh yeah! And many have realized this. My own personal realization happened in that Swiss hospital when I was you can't believe how much I was sweating at this lab at the time. Everything was wet, the floor was wet. People had to wade through 50 centimeters of sweat on the floor to reach me. I was so ill and so finished. And the head was splitting into pieces. And at that time, I had this momentary realization when I chanted the holy name in complete earnestness. I really meant it, maybe for the first time in the life. I really meant it at that time. I could see it's all true. It's all true. It's the holy name is identical with the Lord. And then I had this experience which I had seen in the Bhagavatam, you know, where there was this quarrel between the messengers of death and the Yamadutas and the messengers of Vishnu, the Vishnudutas. And I'm still here. You know, I'm, as you all know, not the most, let me say, strongest individual. I couldn't, not so strong, but I'm here and I'm alive and happy. I would like to tell you a few interesting facts now about the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is Krishna himself in a representative form. You must know, as long as Krishna was personally on the planet Earth, Kali had no chance to enter. He had to wait before the atmosphere of the planet. Then Krishna departed, and the moment he departed the atmosphere, Kali started to enter and infiltrate. I very much appreciated the devotee who depicted Parikshit Maharaj, who at the moment was overwhelmed by the influence of Kali and who became so angry towards the saint who did the good thing, who meditated. He lost his temper. Kali is in all of our brains. It works in all of our hearts. We are controlled by the age of Kali, as long as we don't do something. Listen please further. So Krishna turned around as he was leaving the planet and saw, wow, there's a dark influence, a sinister influence spreading in the world. And out of compassion, it is said, a prati nidhi rupa, that's the word of Jiva Goswami, came from him. A representative form which was meant to spread, to protect the people in this age of Kali who would take shelter in this form. And this form was the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a verse about this. Krishna Svadhamogapate. Once again, I said it wrong. Krishna Svadhamopagate. Dharma Gyanadi Bhisa. Kalo Nashta Drisham Nisha. Puranako Tunodita. This Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abroad, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons like the Pandavasenas, persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali. Once again, we were momentarily diverted by the drama of the sentence. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. There's outer darkness, which is taken care of by the Metropolitan Lightning System of London. But there's inner darkness, which is much more heavy, which covers us, which makes us frustrated, which makes us greedy, which makes us desperate, which makes us moody. Hare Krishna. All these things which don't happen upon the Vasena. This is inner darkness. It can catch you any moment. Be aware of that inner darkness. And it goes by the Metropolitan Light System of London. You, if there is such a thing at all, for that you need the form of Krishna, the Pratinidhi form, the representative of Krishna in this age of Kali, the Srimad Bhagavatam. The main subject of the Srimad Bhagavatam is bhakti. Other scriptures, for instance, I would like to give you an example. Who of you has knowledge, knows that there is a Ramayana? We all know. Ramayana, the pastimes of Lord Rama. This is a pastime which is discussed in by Valmiki, by Tulsi. There's a Bengali version of the Ramayana. There is a Thai version of the Ramayana even. Do you know that in Bangkok, at the Royal Palace, there are paintings from the Ramayana in the Royal Palace, but it's a Thai version. It has the main plot of the story. So the Bhagavatam also tells the story of Lord Rama, but then Shukadev Goswami says it's a well-known story. Everyone knows it. And then he proceeds to tell it in a special way, which is not told anywhere else. He stops all this when there are relationships discussed between the Lord and the devotees. For instance, five verses. The whole thing is only 1.5 chapter, but five verses is when Bharata and the, it describes how Bharata and the residents of Ayodhya felt when Ram had left the town to go with Sita and Lakshman to the forest, how desperate they felt, how empty they felt. It describes all these stories, it emphasizes all this as the main important point, more important than a plot even, that the relationship of the Lord is with his devotees is very sweet. And for that, the Bhagavatam does something like an amazing twist, what we can call role reversals. For this, I will appeal to the student within you, not the entertainment hungry person, but the student. You need to now concentrate a little to catch the point. In the Vedic religion or Vedic Dharma, that works by, there are different roles prescribed for every human being. But the Bhagavatam reverses this role. For instance, children always have to follow their parents and their teachers, right? There's no normal ethical law. In the Bhagavatam, we find Prahlad Maharaj telling his father, "O best of the demons." We find Prahlad Maharaj, this is a horror way before James, who is a teacher, and the other Avanti school teachers, getting in the pauses on the table. No, for James, this would be the delight of all education. Getting on the table and said, "My friend, let's have kirtan. This is materialistic education. It's not good for us." A boy becomes a teacher of his father and society. Why? Because he has bhakti in his heart, and that supersedes everything. Demons are praised as being better than devatas. If demons means from the Rakshasa race, if they have bhakti in their heart, like Vritasura, who is really a ferocious Rakshasa, but we find him at the end of the, what was it, sixth canto, he is praying to Lord Krishna to take him and make him his eternal servant again, and he then is praised as being better than Indra, who says at the end, "This Vritasura is my guru, he goes back to Godhead. I have just won the battle, I have killed him, now I have to repent, but he has won the eternal kingdom of God." Or something, other role reversal. This is my third example. Normally, the husbands always tell their wives what to do. Now this is something relevant for Pandava Sena. You can all wake up now. Wife has to follow the husband. This is a very rule and so on. But in the Bhagavatam, the wives who have bhakti don't follow their husbands. You remember from the 10th canto, Krishna is nearby the village of the Brahmanas and sends his friends to beg for foodstuffs. The Brahmanas say, "No, no, no, we need this for offering to our devatas. The ritual is not, this cannot be given. It's a part of the ritual. And anyways, we are Brahmanas. We don't feed. We are to be fed by everyone. It's not our duty to feed the sections of society, especially not cowherd boys who run all day after cows and who are covered with cow dung." And their wives hear this. They take all the food meant for the devatas, put it on their heads, and start to leave the house. The husband said, protest, "Where do you think you are going?" And the wife said, "We are going to Krishna, our only Lord. We are your lords. We are your husbands." And they tried to grab the wives, but the wife said, "You don't own us. Let us go. We are meant for Krishna. We are meant to serve him, not you." And then they used the tactic, which they all spread, so that the husband thought, "No, where do we run now?" And then they run and go into the forest. Now, there they meet Krishna, there they serve Krishna. The son, and when they And Krishna transforms the houses unseen by them into golden palaces. He changes the mind of the brahmanas, because the ladies really thought, if we now return after having disobeyed our husbands so strongly against their repeated order, we have gone and taken the food which was meant for the devatas to Krishna. We now go, they will kill us. They will be so disturbed in their masculine ego that they will kill us. But when the Krishna sees him, no, when you return, their minds will be changed. And so when they come back, the husband say, to hell with our learning, to hell with our rituals, to hell with our ceremonies. We are the husbands, but our wives are our gurus. Role reversal. When we were doing yajna and feeding foodstuffs by sacrificing the food into the fire, we totally forgot the meaning of everything. Because when the Lord personally came, we rejected him. Why this role reversal? Because they have bhakti in their hearts. I like Nanda Gopal's opening video with Abhishek, who, yes, Abhishek, I can imagine when he came, he must have hung out in the temple a little maybe in this Abhishek way. And he was maybe not, I do not know his social background, nor do I wish to speculate. He led maybe an ordinary life. But then, by the infusion of spiritual energy, or let us use the word bhakti in his heart, he is now Abhishek is the best now. And he has friends, you know, and never ocean, an expanding ocean of friends. I think soon he will be more popular than Mr. Beans. Because there is bhakti in this man's heart, therefore a role reversal from an ordinary person to an extraordinary person has taken place. I hope I don't embarrass you too much. This is the item of the Bhagavatam, that USP, they say nowadays, the unique feature of the Bhagavatam. It has bhakti and it transmits bhakti so that anyone who gets it is all of a sudden living a life less ordinary. Isn't that your motto as Pandava Senas? You should start now reading Bhagavatam sincerely, that you make true of this slogan. I want to now just bring a short point before I will introduce a frightening feature of my lecture. My dear devotees and my dear skeptics, Bhagavatam are words of power. When they are received properly, they empower you in a way which is totally extraordinary. I would like to give an example of a word of power. The general on the battlefield, he will use one word. Angriff! Oh, we are in England here. Attack! This small word change the, what do you say, the political scenario of a whole of a whole generation. Or you come into a temple, two people who used to know each other are sitting there before the yagya, and the priest speaks this, does them, brings them into a ceremony where they marry. He says, "Now repeat after me." And then he says that sentence, "I accept so and so as my husband or wife, and I promise to take care of them both materially, spiritually, for the rest of the life." And all of a sudden, two people who knew each other form a family unit from which children spring forth into this life. Words of power. The Bhagavatam has different types of words of power. It empowers you to receive Krishna in the heart. If you know how to use do it properly, and how to do this I will not explain now. I will explain in my workshop, which Nandagopa helped me, starts at 11:15. Yes. How to make Bhagavatam happen, how to make the words of power happen. Now I want to introduce something to in my lecture. I want you to turn to your neighbor and you will sit a little in silence for just 30 seconds because I will ask you to reflect upon what you have heard. And then, after you have reflected, you will have to share with the person what you have learned in this lecture. No? This is very useful. This is called, we are entering a practice which I will teach you, which belongs to the way how you enter the world of the Bhagavatam. You first hear, then you think about it or reflect about it, and then you do two other powerful practices which I won't tell you at this moment because you will learn them one by one. So please find a neighbor. We want to be really fast because breakfast is also coming at the time. So please turn to a neighbor. And please, everyone, participate in this. I don't think it's a less important exercise. It is very important that something sticks to you. All right. Everyone found a neighbor? Nityananda? Yes. You have Sugadev Goswami. Very good. Abhishek is Parikshi. My God. The Bhagavatam can happen. So, full attention now. Listen carefully. Just for a moment, become thoughtful and reflective. What has struck you during this morning lecture? What has struck you? If you want, you can also talk about the beautiful Bhagavatam play, which was really, wow! It was a Peter Brook-like production. It was so good. I think Shakespeare would have appreciated this. It was that quality. So now, please, little reflective, and when you hear this signal, then share with your neighbor what you've heard. So first reflect, first think. Start now. Thank you. Okay, now please turn to your neighbor and share with them what struck you, what you have learned. Which you would like to ask at this point? Yes, please don't tell your name. Brinda Kishore. Yes, Brinda Kishore.
Thank you for your class. I was a little bit shocked about your... did you have a Yamadutta experience? I'm just wondering, are already in Krishna consciousness, and it's kind of scary that
that came for you. Grinda Kishori, thank you very much for your The way I understand it is, in that room where I was, many people had left their bodies, and hospitals are generally very ghostly places. There's a lot of you know, ghosts going about, like in Harry Potter's castles, you know. A lot of bad influences. Spend a night in the hospital, and you know what I mean. So, all I know, it was a very scary things I saw. If they were the Yamadutas, I don't know, you know, how to tell one ghost away, one subtle being from another subtle being. That was very scary, and I was fearful of those nights, you know, these fever nights where you wrestle with dear life, and then there's these things in the atmosphere which you don't know, these nightmarish things. You don't even know, is it my nightmare, or is it outside of me a real ghost, and so on. But I distinctly remember when I read the pastime in the Bhagavatam, I thought, this is for real, the Bhagavatam, because I saw the struggle of the beings the servants of the Lord, and whatever dark was there. I don't know, you know, if you press me now hard, where these the Yamadutas? I hope I am not, you know. But they were scary beings, that I know. So you are scared. You say, if Maharaj got such a visit, what will I get? It is said for the devotee who has not yet reached the perfection, he sees in a dream what his karma would have been. And if you ask me now what it is, I think it was in my night, feverish nightmare, I saw in a dream what my karma would have been. And that was it. No, you will see it. You have in spiritual life, you sometimes do get a whiff. Is it a whiff of the karma? But it doesn't affect you the way it affects an ordinary person. You just see it passing like a dark cloud. You look so what? Vrinda Kishori, do you sometimes have nightmares? See, that's what I'm talking about. In dreams, you see dark things, you know, crazy scenes, and so on. I think it was, if you ask me, it was that. I also heard the Yamadutas don't come for someone who chants Hare Krishna. It must have been, be careful, Sachinanda Swami. Take the Bhagavatam serious like that. I see it like this. But thank you for your educated question, really. Vinayaka, don't worry, you are Vinayaka Shori. You are a great soul. A little bad dream, no problem. Let me go. Good. Yes, Prabhuji. Your name again, please help us. Rasabihari Prabhu, yes.
So, when I think about the offences against the holy name, and we often add the idea of being inattentive when chanting as an offence,
yeah.
I'm just wondering if the same is true of Srimad Bhagavatam when we neglect to read it properly? Or is there this idea of being inattentive when reading Srimad Bhagavatam? And thus we have this sort of prayerful mood to ask forgiveness from Bhagavatam for being inattentive.
Rasa Bihari. Rasa Bihari. I hope you wouldn't have asked this question. What do you think happens when we interact with the Lord and we show Him our back? This is what inattention means. The main problem of all of us is we have turned a cold shoulder, modern English, or we have turned our back to Krishna. And this bad habit continues into our spiritual practice. When we chant, we are all of a sudden inattentive to the Holy Name. When we read, we are not attentive, but our minds is, how many more pages until, I have so many good apps, you know, on my telephone. It is so wonderful. And we turn away from Krishna because we don't have the taste. But when you learn to be attentive, which you will learn in the second workshop, actually, we will learn the art of mental focus. You know, then everything is downloaded from the Bhagavata. It comes, and there is a pastime which I don't wish to tell now because it's part of the attention workshop. Where there is a Bhagavatam reading going on, and one member is highly attentive and goes back to Godhead at the end. And the others who are not, they stay. There is a pastime you will hear. But anyways, even if you sit in the Bhagavatam reading half asleep, you know, something is going on, some benefit is there. But more benefit is there with attention. I would like to answer more questions, but we need to end here so that the rest of the retreat is possible. Nanda Gopa will give us a quick orientation how to proceed. Thank you all very much, and wish you a wonderful retreat with very deep realizations. Hare Krishna, Hare Gopa.